Well, it's been quite a while, but Terrible Tommy's old country show is back. Yes, it is. We're going to try and keep them rolling now, so we got some real hot music in here for you music lovers, especially you rednecks, you gunfighters, and all that kind of stuff. So here we go. Let's start out with something real hot. And don't forget to go to resist.com to download these babies.
John Henry.
Come on, boy. John Henry, boy. Don't tell me he was a nigger boy. He was not no nigger boy. He was a white boy. A white man.
He said that he's gonna be death of me, Lord, Lord. That Steve's gonna be death of me. That boy grew up to be a steel driving man, strongest ever seen. We'll swing 12 pounds from his hips on down, just to hear that old hammer ring, Lord, Lord, just to make that old hammer ring. Got him there, lost her body. But the captain wanted her to. So the captain said, John, you're gonna lose your job. This seems really better than you, Lord, Lord. My seems really better than you. Well, John Henry said to the captain, well, man, I ain't nothing but a man. And before I let that seem to be down, I'll die with that hammer in my hand, Lord, Lord. I'll die with that hammer in my hand.
Well, the sun was hot and burning, and the work crew all gathered around. The captain fired up with new steam gear when John Henry brought his hammer down.
John Henry driving all the way. John Henry beat that old steam gear down, but he hammered his boots up again, Lord, Lord. He hammered his boots up again. Took John Henry to the tunnel. They buried him in the sand. And every time Polly comes a-walking by, she says, "Well, I must be a riding man, Lord, Lord. Well, I must be a riding man. I said, I must be a riding man, Lord, Lord. Well, I must be a riding man."
This is Terrible Tommy, and this is Terrible Tommy's old-time country show. Western and country. And you can go to resist.com anytime and see all kinds of goodies and play games. And I'm telling you, it's a barrel of monkeys up there. Lots of fun. And you can reach me at warmetzger@aol.com. And you can write me at P.O. Box 65, Fallbrook, California, 920-88. Our 24/7 update line, our area update line, is 760-723-8996. Well, now let's get on to some other things we've wanted to play for you here, and this is from some of the songs of the Civil War. Yeah, that was another one we got sucked into that we shouldn't have got sucked into. I'm not kidding. North or South, come on, boys. It was a fratricidal war. It was bullshit. And thousands of good white men died protecting the rich man's property and the Negro. Isn't that wonderful? Well, at least some people didn't. They had draft riots in New York City. They burnt a whole lot of the town down up there. Had to bring in the federal troops off the front lines to fight the rioters. Said, hey, yeah, you got this deal that we can pay our way out? Well, we don't have the money. We're too poor working for these big-ass capitalists up here. So we ain't gone, and we're going to kick your ass. And they did kick their ass. It took them a week or so to stop that riot. And the South got no excuse either. They were protecting the rich man's property, the slave. You know, here again, the nigger. Nigger plays. So let's listen to some of those songs and what the guys out in the field thought about that damn war.
Would you like to hear my song? I'm afraid it's rather long. Of the famous road to Richmond, double trouble. Of the half a dozen trips and the half a dozen slips and the very latest bursting of the bubble. It is mighty hard to sing, and like a rolling ring, 'tis a dreadful naughty puzzle to unravel. Though all the papers swore when we reached Virginia shore that Richmond is a hard road to travel.
So pull off your greatcoat, roll up your sleeve.
Richmond is a hard road to travel.
Yeah, well, pull off your greatcoat, roll up your sleeve.
Richmond is a hard road to travel, I believe. Lincoln said to Pope, you can make the trip, I hope, and save the universal Yankee nation. To make sure of no defeat, I'll leave no lines of retreat, and I'll issue a famous proclamation. But that invented Jackson, that fellow made his wax on, and made him by compulsion of the cedar. Till Pope to grab a flight in the middle of the night, cause his very last appearance as a leader.
So roll off your greatcoat, roll up your sleeve, Richmond is a hard road to travel. Yeah, pull off your greatcoat, roll up your sleeve, Richmond is a hard road to travel, I believe.
Last of all, Burnside with his pontoon bridges tried, a road no one had thought of before him. With 200,000 men for the rebel slaughter pen, and the blessed Union flag a waving o'er him. And they met a fire like hell from canister and shell that mowed down his men with great slaughter. Was a dreadful sight to view that second Waterloo, and the river ran with more blood than water.
So pull off your great coat, roll up your sleeve, Richmond is a hard road to travel. Yeah, pull off your great coat, roll up your sleeve, Richmond is a hard road to travel, I believe.
Perplexed to see who is the next to command the next Richmond expedition. For the capital of plays and all in 90 days, and Jeff and his men sent to perdition. And when we take the town, we will surely burn it down and plunder and hang each cursed rebel. For the contraband was right when he said that they would fight them rebels, they would fight like the devil.
So pull off your great coat, roll up your sleeve, Richmond is a hard road to travel. Yeah, pull off your great coat, roll up your sleeve, Richmond is a hard road to travel, I believe. So pull off your great coat, roll up your sleeve, Richmond is a hard road to travel. Yes, pull off your great coat, roll up your sleeve. Richmond is a hard road to travel, I believe. So pull off your great coat, roll up your sleeve. Richmond is a hard road to travel. Oh, pull off your great coat, roll up your sleeve. Richmond is a hard road to travel, I believe. So pull off your great coat, roll up your sleeve. Richmond is a hard road to travel.
Well, there's some dark humor if I ever heard it. Yeah, that about that march on Richmond. That was one hell of a march. And, you know, what's really sad is they're talking and joking about burning the town down and looting and probably raping the women. And that probably went on both sides. And it's sad to see. You know, and they were carrying these guns. A lot of them were defective because there was, I forget what Jew that was. I'm pretty sure it was a big shot Jew in the north. Sold them this tremendous amount of old rifles out of some warehouse to the government, made a scad of money off of this white fratricidal war. And I get sick and tired of people, the grandsons and great-great-grandsons of all these people, talking about this great war. It was not a great war. Neither side was right. It was a bunch of crap, and it just got a hell of a lot. In fact, some of the greatest gene, some of the best people of our race were killed in that war. It also opened the floodgates for a massive number of people from Europe that were fleeing the failed civil war over there in Germany, I think it was. And a lot of them were really good people, but there was some other scum got in, and I think there was a lot of Jews came in with them. How about that? Let's hear some more.
Come on, you valiant soldier, this story I will tell. About the bloody battle that was fought on Shiloh's hill. It was an awful struggle bloody battle that was fought on Shiloh's hill. 'Twas on the 6th of April, about the break of day, the fifes and drums were playing for us to march away. My feelings at that moment I do remember still, when first my feet were stomping on the top of Shiloh's hill. About the hour of sunrise the battle just began. Before the day was ended, we fought hand to hand. The horrors on that battle did my soul with anguish fill. The wounded men and dying all laid on Shiloh's hill. There was men of every nation laid on them bloody plains. There was fathers, sons, and brothers, all numbered with the slain. The wounded men was crying for help from everywhere, and others was a-dying and offering God their prayers. Very early the next morning we were called to arms again. Unmindful of the wounded, unuseful to the slain, the battle was renewed again. 10,000 men was killed, and from their deadly wounds the blood ran like a rill. And now my song is ended about them bloody plains. I hope the sight to mortalize may never be seen again. I'll pray to God my Savior, consistent with His will, to save the souls of them brave men who fell on Shiloh's hill.
Well, there you go. All those men that died on Shiloh's hill. I don't remember exactly how many it was, but it was a hell of a lot of them. You know, when they used to have to amputate on almost everything, they just didn't have the medicines and things that we do today, of course. And I've seen or heard stories that there were legs and arms stacked 20 feet high in some of the battles, after some of the battles of trying to save men's life by cutting off the damaged limbs and everything. Can you imagine that? You could get hit in the hand and probably die in the Civil War because they didn't have the antibiotics or anything like that. So anyhow, they're all happy to run off to war, but then once they're in it, just like Iraq, they get their ass shot off and they think a little differently, but it's too late. Once you've been maimed or laying in a damn veterans hospital, it's too late. And then they haven't figured out what it was about. Well, it was about the North was an industrial nation and the South was an agrarian nation. And the North was profiting off the slaves just as much, if not more, than the South. And only 1% of the people in the South controlled 99% of the wealth. So all the people, the landed gentry and so forth, there was no real middle class, and so a majority of the white South were white poor. And they had to go out every day and compete with free slaves. I mean free slaves that the not only the plantation people used, but they even sent them out into the community into regular non-slave jobs and competed with the whites. And so here you go. And they were extremely afraid, the North was, the big shots in the North, of course, that the South was about to create an industrial base. And that they didn't care as long as they were agrarian. and agriculture. But when they saw gleamings of the South starting to build an industrial base, oh no, that's what the war was all about. Forget the Negroes. Of course, the South, it was very important to the South because that was their property, just like their mules and their, or if they had tractors or anything like that, and somebody come along and want to take their tractor or their mules, well, there'd have been a fight. But Birmingham was a good example. When I was a boy traveling from Indiana down to Florida, we'd go through Birmingham, and I was only about 8 years old, and you could see the big steel mills of Birmingham. Well, they didn't have those before the Civil War, but they were going to get them, and that upset the big boys up north. So what you had, again, was a money war. Every time this happens, there are money wars. There hasn't been any real wars based lately on race, purely on survival of the race. Our war is going to be on the survival of the race. It can't have anything to do with amassing great amounts of money and greed and occupying non-white islands in the South Pacific like Puerto Rico. To hell with Puerto Rico. Give it back to the Puerto Ricans and then move all the Puerto Ricans out of New York back to Puerto Rico and we'll live happily ever after, right? Okay, let's hear some more.
It was at the siege of Vicksburg, on Vicksburg, on Vicksburg. It was at the siege of Vicksburg, when the parrot shell whistled through the air. Listen to the parrot shell, listen to the parrot shell. The parrot shell whistling through the air. Listen to the parrot shell, listen to the parrot shell. The parrot shell whistling through the air. When the parrot shell was sent through the air, listen to the parrot shell, listen to the parrot shell. The parrot shell was sent through the air, listen to the parrot shell, listen to the parrot shell.
Talk about that siege of Vicksburg, and I bet a lot of you people read up a lot more on this than I have, but all I know is that it scares the hell out of me, and I ain't afraid of nothing, man. Listen to this song. These guys are singing these songs. These are real Civil War songs, and they're sort of almost in a sort of a dark joke about the pirate shells bursting over them and the mini balls whistling by them, and of course they're glad to hear them whistle by them because if they didn't whistle by you, there probably one mini ball right in your head, in your forehead. How about that? Yeah, those old mini balls. Well, I'll tell you, they weren't that many, man, if they hit you in the head. But I think there was some even bigger than that. We're almost like one of these balls you get out of a candy machine, one of those jawbreakers. One of those come blow your shoulder off. And, of course, remember, they used to take almost a log chain and stretch it between two cannons. And then they'd fire two cannons at once, and there is about a 20-foot log chain coming at you at about 50 miles an hour, maybe more. Can you imagine what that could do? Well, it could cut you right in two, could decapitate you or what. That's the kind of stuff they had to deal with back then. And all for the wonderful profiteers in Washington and New York City and in Virginia. Yeah, come on, boys. You had a Jew as a Secretary of War. Yeah, what was his name? He got out of the country with a boatload of gold, went over to England, lived out his days. Yeah, I'll tell you a little later on who he was. Some of you may know. Now, don't get me wrong. I think the South should have had every right, natural right, to secede. But, on the other hand, if they had seceded and kept slavery, they would have moved slavery, in fact, in other words, moved the nigger all the way into Southern California, all the way up into Oregon, if they controlled that amount of territory. They had Texas, all that would have been plantations. They were going to build all these plantations down in Mexico and Central America. And if they'd have been able to do that, if you think we have a Negro problem the way it is now, it would have been 100 times worse if the Southern oligarchy would have won. Oh, now don't get, hey, come on. I'm just telling you what I know. It's in the books, man. Now, it's one thing I've told you I do. I shoot from the hip, and I say he calls them to where I sees them, and I'm not prejudiced either way. I'm just pointing out that it was a fratricidal war, and you don't want to get into fratricidal wars. Don't do it. In fact, all these wars are, like I keep saying, they're all for money. Like General Schmedley Butler says, said, one of the great Marine Corps generals said, war is a racket. It's a racket.
And the tears, they fill my eyes, spite of all that I can do. Though I try to cheer my comrades and be gay. Rap, 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 the boys are marching. Cheer up, on the day will come. And beneath the starry flag we shall breathe the air again, on the free land in our own beloved home. In the battle bus we stood, when their fiercest charge they made, and they swept us off 100 men or more. But before we reached their lines, they were beaten back dismayed, and we heard their cry of victory o'er and o'er. Tap, 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 the boys are marching, cheer up, come that they will come. And beneath the starry flag we shall breathe the air again, of the free land in our own beloved home. So within the prison cell we are waiting for the day that shall come to open wide the iron door.
Iron door!
And the hollow eye grows bright, and the poor heart almost gay, as we think of seeing home and friends once more. The boys are marching, cheer up, come that they will come. And beneath the starry flag we shall breathe the air again, on the free land in our own beloved home.
Well, you know, those prisoner of war camps were hell, man. If you thought that being battling in the field was bad, you ought to have been in a prisoner of war camp in the Civil War. You had Andersonville, the one down south that was a terrible place to be, and then you had Lincoln's concentration camps all over the north, and it was bad. You know, I watched a TV show once where they were talking about this concentration camp that the Federals had in Maine, I believe it was, Maine or New Hampshire. I believe it was Maine. Anyhow, supposedly, lots of people have seen apparitions or ghosts or whatever you want to call it of these Confederate soldiers around that old prison up there. And the park ranger, he swears that he's seen one in gray battle uniform walking across the road one day. So, I don't know. I'm not much for that kind of stuff, but evidently, the tortured souls of these soldiers that were incarcerated and tortured in many cases still roaming around. Well, let's tell you about Chicago. Well, the Union Army marched a few thousand Confederates up to Chicago. A lot of people don't know about that. And they put them in a concentration camp up there. And a few thousand of them died. Now, obviously, they were fairly good shape if they could march from the battle lines all the way up to Chicago from wherever the battle lines were, and they must have been hundreds of miles away. And they buried them in a mass grave there in South Chicago, now surrounded by Negro neighborhoods. I've been there twice paying homage to them, and it's still just like it was. It's a mound that rises up about 10 feet. And at the base, it's about 100 feet wide. And those soldiers are still there, but there's, and now at least there's monuments, there's cannons there, there's all their names are listed there, and I think it's a must for all racial comrades to visit this place, and if you have a problem finding it, let me know, I'll get you the directions, but it's right off the, I think, Highway 94 or 91 there in Chicago, very easy to find. And you know the irony of it, Chicago, not New York City, was the heart of the Jewish advocacy of beating the South down real bad. Chicago was where the real Jew power was that was wanting to get into that war with the South. And the other irony is that just about a half a block, three quarters of a block from this mound where there was no memorial for decades and decades is a Jewish cemetery in the same park with all these grandiose 6-7 foot tall memorials to these Jews, rich Jews, and even little houses. I don't know if you've ever seen those in a cemetery. What a waste of material. I don't care for what cemetery. Some of these days we're going to have to get a handle on this cemetery crap. It's taking up too much land. But anyhow, there are these cement little buildings and stuff as memorials, and it's totally a Jew thing within the site of the burial of all these tortured and murdered Confederate soldiers. Yeah, there's a book out on it now, came out after I went there the first time, called Lincoln's Concentration Camps. Pick it up. Let's get back to that glorious fratricidal war that people still run around waving flags about. Reenacting a bloodbath like that? I don't know. I guess I'm screwy, but I think it's sort of sick. It's almost like the Jews and all these holidays they celebrate murdering all these people and creating, committing genocide on the people around Israel back in the old days.
Let us close our game of poker, take our tin cups in our hand, as we all stand by the cook's tent door. As dried mummies of hard crackers are handed to each man, oh, hard tacks come again no more. Is the song the sigh of the hungry? Oh, heart attack, come again no more. Many days have you lingered upon our stomach sore. Oh, heart attack, come again no more. Is a hungry, thirsty soldier who wears his life away in torn clothes whose better days are o'er. And he's sighing now for whiskey in a voice as dry as hay. Oh, heart attack, come again no more. Is the song the sigh of the hungry? Oh, heart attack, come again no more. Many days have you lingered upon our stomach sore. Oh, heart attack, come again no more. Is the wail that is heard in the camp both night and day, 'tis the murmur that's mingled with each snore. Is the sighing of the soul for spring chickens far away? Oh, heart attack, come again no more. Is the song the sigh of the hungry? Oh, heart attack, come again no more. Many days have you lingered upon our stomach sore. Oh, heart attack, come again no more. Thank you. murmurs, there comes a sudden hush as frail forms are fainting by the door. For they feed us now on horse feed that the cooks call mush.
Oh, heart attack, come again once more. Did the dying wail of the starving, oh, heart attack, come again once more. You were old and very wormy, but we pass your failing door. Oh, heart attack, come again once more.
Now here's a little tidbit a lot of you people don't know, especially you younger people, because I don't think they teach history for crap anymore in school. And I don't even remember hearing it when I was in school in the 50s. You know, so, but the South was outnumbered 7-1. You know, you don't see that figure very often. I have an old almanac from the 1800s and said in there that the South was outnumbered 7-1. You see, the South didn't have people replenishing their forces. The North had an unending flow coming in from Europe because, you know, Europe, they were fighting like hell over there, and they had the Revolution of 1848 that failed, and massive amounts of Germans were coming in, and all these people were coming in, and they were giving their citizenship for fighting in the army. So the North always had plenty of cannon fodder to throw into the fight. And, you know, this, he's talking about heart attack, but, you know, at the end of the war, even with the population of the South, they were eating a lot of parched corn. I don't know whether you've ever eaten parched corn, but when I was a kid living on the farm, a lot of times in the middle of the winter, I run out of popcorn. You know, I love popcorn. I eat popcorn like you wouldn't believe. You think I'm nuts the way I eat popcorn. Well, anyhow, I get on my goulashes and my earmuffs and my heavy coat and trot on down to the barn, get some corn, bring it back, wash it off, and put it in a frying pan and parch it. And it was my substitute for popcorn. Wasn't bad just for a night or two, but just think, you're fighting every day for your life, and you're not getting any K rations or C rations or all that crap they get today, or even in World War II or World War I. Yeah, you didn't get all those kind of goodies, so you're there with a pocket full of parched corn fighting for your life, and that's what you were doing when you got into these wars like that. Once you're at the front, you're just fighting for your life. You forget the cause almost, you know. You're thinking about the cause, but really you're fighting for your life. And there's a lot of books now with letters from Civil War soldiers. You ought to read some of them. It's very interesting. This one young white boy in the Union Army wrote back to his mother and was all distraught. Why are you distraught? Well, I'm fighting and I come up over this rise and there's a black man in a gray uniform shooting at me. Yeah, there was about 200,000 blacks fighting for the South, and not just not just people pulling wagons and stuff either. They fought in some pretty hot stuff they did, because whether you like it or not, the South had been the home of these people for 100 years. I mean, you know, and a lot of blacks had felt that, you know, when the North invaded, it was sort of their area too, even though we are racial separatists. They got to understand how some of these people might feel to go out and fight even for their former masters, considering the fact that maybe they hated the North even worse. And they're right, because chattel slavery, wage slavery was much more vicious than chattel slavery. At least chattel slavery was right out in the open where you knew what was going on and you had a guaranteed place to live. You had even medical care. They had their own little churches. They had all that kind of stuff. And it wasn't that unhappy for a tremendous amount of them. So, but in the North, you had wage slavery where they didn't furnish you any housing. They didn't furnish you jack crap. And they worked you 15, sometimes maybe 20 hours a day. Plus, they were working the little kids on the wheel. They didn't do that down South. So anyhow, that's the situation there. Anyhow, that's the secret that the North or the liberals don't really want to talk about. That large number of blacks did fight on the side of the Confederacy. And, of course, all our white racial separatist boys down south don't seem to want to talk about it either. So, but why don't we just get it out in the open? It's a fact, and that's it. And if a black man fought gallantly for the South, well, he should be given credit. See, I'm a racial separatist, and a lot of blacks piss me off, but I'm not the kind that wants to just rail on them all the time. I just want to be separate from them. So I think that's the main goal.
Dearest love, do you remember when we last did meet? How you told me that you loved me, kneeling at my feet. Oh, how proud you stood before me in your suit of blue. When you bowed to me and country ever to be true, weeping sad and lonely, hopes and fears how vain. When this cruel war is over, praying that we meet again. When the summer breeze is sighing mournfully along, or when autumn leaves are falling, sadly breathed a song. Oft in dreams I see thee lying on the battlefield, lonely, wounded, even dying, calling but in vain, weeping sad and lonely, hopes and fears how great. When this cruel war is over, praying that we meet again. If amid the din of battle, nobly you should fall away from those who love you, none to hear you call. Who would whisper words of comfort? Who would soothe your pain? All the many cruel fancies ever in my brain, weeping sad and lonely, hopes and fears how vain. When this cruel war is over, praying that we meet again. But our country calls you darling, angel, cheer your way. While our nation's sons are fighting, we can only pray. Lonely strike for God and liberty, let all nations see how we love our sorry banner, emblem of the free. Weeping sad and lonely, hopes and fears how vain.
Yeah, a lot of people forget what happens to the families in these situations. Remember down south, as the Union armies moved forward, oh boy, they were destroying all kinds of farms and everything else, and houses, and burning them out, and taking the goodies to feed the army on the march, and all that kind of stuff. So even your family wasn't safe. It was safer up north, but of course there were the agents from the south that infiltrated from Canada and did a lot of exploding things and using Greek fire in New York City and in various cities of the north. A lot of people, that's an untold story too about the southern spies, and a lot of the women were spies, and the southern agents that they played a lot of havoc up in the north too. So, but anyhow, it's a tough deal because people, even, you know, today they go off to war and think they're fighting for one thing and they're really fighting for another, and they don't ever win. The white man has not won a war that I can think of. You might say, well, we won a war against Japan, but when you look into the background, all the ifs and outs and buts about that war, that was a phony war too. But you'll have to stand by for another lecture on that. But once they attack, well, then we went after them. But most of these wars are always detrimental to the white race. The only good war for the white race is to purify its own stock inside its own country. It's for your family and your race. And that's it. If it's not for that, it's a phony war for phony people.
Despot's heel is on thy shore, Maryland, my Maryland. His touch is at thy temple door, Maryland, my Maryland. Avenge the patriotic gore that flecked the streets of Baltimore, and be the battle queen of yore, Maryland, my Maryland. Hark to a wandering son's appeal, Maryland, my mother's state to thee I kneel, Maryland, my Maryland. For life and death, for woe and weal, I fear the chivalry reveal, and gird thy beauteous limbs with steel, Maryland, my Maryland. Thou wilt not cower in the dust, Maryland, my Maryland. Thy beaming sword shall never rust, Maryland, my Maryland. Remember Carroll's sacred trust, remember Howard's warlike thrust, and all thy slumbers with the just, Maryland, my Maryland. Come, for thy shield is bright and strong, Maryland, my Maryland. Come, for thy dalliance does thee wrong, Maryland, my Maryland. Come to thine own heroic throng that starts with liberty along, and give a new key to thy song, Maryland, my Maryland. Dear mother, burst the tyrant's chain, Maryland, my Maryland. Virginia should not call in vain, Maryland, my Maryland. She meets her sisters on the plain, Six Emperors is the proud refrain that baffles minions back amain, Maryland, my Maryland. I see the blush upon thy cheek, Maryland, my Maryland. But thou wast ever bravely meek, Maryland, my Maryland. But lo, there surges forth a shriek, from hill to hill, from creek to creek, Potomac calls to Chesapeake, Maryland, my Maryland. Thou wilt not yield the vandal toll, Maryland, my Maryland. Thou wilt not crook to his control, Maryland, my Maryland. Better the fire upon thee roll, better the blade, the shot, the bowl, than crucifixion on the soul, Maryland, my Maryland. I hear the distant thunder hum. Maryland, my Maryland, the old line bugle, fife and drum. Maryland, my Maryland, she is not dead, nor deaf, nor dumb. Huzzah, she spurns the northern scum. She breathes, she burns, she'll come, she'll come. Maryland, my Maryland.
Well, that sounds pretty cool about coming to the defense of Maryland, but, you know, when it gets to that point, you're going out there to fight and die for every son of a bitch in Maryland. I mean, and all the fat cats are not fighting and who can buy their way out and the whole bit, and you're going out there. You know, it's one thing to fight for your family and fight for your comrades, and I mean your real comrades and that kind of deal. But, see, this is war propaganda music on both sides, that once it started, you were really even fighting for the niggers in Maryland, I mean, you know. And then it becomes so mixed up and screwed up that you're just caught up in it, and everybody's waving a flag on both sides. And reminds me of a story out of a book by, what was his name? Yeah, James Audrey, about the evolution of social contract. And like that, he's down in Africa, I believe it is. They have these rhesus monkeys. They're little bitty fellas, and there's thousands of them. They're in the jungle, in the jungles of Brazil. There with Dr. Mengele. Well, we won't get into that. Anyhow, every morning, see, they're tribes, these rhesus monkeys. Every morning, they climb down out of the trees when the sun comes up. And they go right up to an imaginary border, and they jump up and down and raise hell and squeal, and once in a while one of them will even cross the imaginary line, and the monkeys on the other side will beat the shit out of him and throw him back and like that. And they have this little mini war every morning between these two tribes, and then after about 20 minutes, maybe half an hour, maybe an hour, it all stops. They go back up in the tree and go to sleep. Does that remind you of anything? Maybe the monkeys are a little bit smarter than we are. Now, one thing I didn't tell you. Now, no monkeys get hurt unless it's by some real accident. In this whole little war they have every morning, no monkeys get hurt.
Mine eyes have seen the glory of the coming of the Lord. He is trampling out the vintage where the grapes of wrath are stored. He hath loosed the fateful lightning of his terrible swift sword. His truth is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah, His truth is marching on. I have seen Him in the watchfires of a hundred circling camps. They have builded Him an altar in the evening dews and dance. I have read His righteous sentence by the dim and flaring lamp. His day is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. I have read a fiery gospel writ in burnished rows of steel. As ye deal with my contemners, so with you my grace shall deal. Let the hero born of woman crush the serpent with his heel, since God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. He has sounded forth the trumpet that shall never call retreat. He is sifting out the hearts of men before His judgment seat. Oh, be swift, my soul, to answer Him. Be jubilant, let my feet. Our God is marching on. Glory.
glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on. In the beauty of the lilies, Christ was born across the sea, with a glory in his bosom that transfigures you and me. As he died to make men holy, let us die to make men free, while God is marching on. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. Glory, glory, hallelujah. His truth is marching on.
Well, if there's one song I totally despise, it's that one. That is the biggest bunch of horse shit that ever was penned. Everybody says, oh, God's with us. Oh, yeah, we go marching off to war, get our ass blown off, because God minunes. Yeah, right. They all say that. And that's how the Christian, the neo-Jewish ethic got into the Civil War. And, of course, it played big time, you know. God's with us and Jesus and all that crap. Oh, man. That's enough to gag a maggot. Some of you conservatives may not agree with that, but I don't give a damn. It's nonsense. As far as you, if you want to believe a God, he's out there, but he ain't watching you, man. You want to go out there and get your ass blown off, don't blame God for it, or don't blame nature. You know, I'm a nature guy. I like nature. I guess if I got a God, it's nature. You know, evolution, natural selection, and all that. I think that's probably how we got here. You know, the race is divided based on natural selection. But anyhow, I can just see the big shot industrialists of the North contracting the people who wrote that song. Oh, this is going to get them. Jesus and God and all that kind of crap, and it did. They thought that after a while they were on this holy crusade. I don't think the average soldier in the field gave a damn on either side about that. But I want to tell you one thing. I do get a little excited about Dixie. I like that song. It's about, you know, being right here on the earth and not employing the spooks in the sky. But glory, glory, hallelujah. Oh, God, save me. Nigga, please. Now, did I say, oh, God, save me? See, they've got it ingrained in their skull, you know, from the cradle to the grave. We're given that stuff, man, and we get it into our brain, and even in speaking offhanded, we say stuff like that.
We're tenting tonight on the old campground. Give us a song to cheer our weary hearts, a song of home and friends we love so dear. Many are the hearts that are weary tonight, wishing for the world to see. Many are the hearts looking for the right to see the dawn of peace. Tenting tonight, tenting on the old campground. We've been tenting tonight on the old campground, thinking of days gone by, on the loved ones at home that gave us the hand and the tear that said goodbye. Many are the hearts that are weary tonight, wishing for the war to cease. Many are the hearts looking for the right to see the
dawn of peace.
Tending tonight, tending on the old campground.
We are tired of war on the old campground. Many are dead and gone. Of the brave and true who've left their homes, others been wounded long.
Many are the hearts that are weary tonight, wishing for the war to cease. Many are the hearts looking for the light to see the dawn of peace. Tending tonight, tending on the old campground.
We've been fighting today on the old campground. Many are lying here. Some are dead and some are dying. Many are in tears.
Many are the hearts that are weary tonight, wishing for the war to cease. Many are the hearts looking for the right to see the dawn of peace. Tending tonight, tending on the old campground. Dying tonight, dying on the old campground.
I think that end, that last part, says it all, dying on the old campground. Well, I'll tell you what, if you're thinking you're going off to fight to save America and all that kind of stuff when they want you to go over to Iraq, forget it. If you don't understand that, I don't know what I can do for you, because your war is here, white man. We have a few advanced people in the Aryan Underground Army, or whatever it was. You had Bob Matthews. He knew who the enemy was, and he fought for that particular ideal. And there's been many others, and all the order people in prison, and a lot of people passed away. Bob Miles and Pastor Butler and a whole lot of people who, I don't even have the list here long enough, but they knew what they were doing. James Earl Ray, how about that? I used to write him. James Earl wrote back to me, James Earl saw the problem, took care of it, and that's the way the war is going to be in the next decade or so in this country, because get ready for it, they're coming after us. And you know, even like the Jews say, when they come after us, we got to get up early in the morning and go after them. I hope you enjoyed this show, Terrible Tommy's Old Time Country Show. We dedicated to the problems of the Civil War. Fratricidal war, and we hope you've learned something for it. Subscribe to War News. We're going to do a 28-page quarterly now in January, and $30 per year, $40 in Soviet Kanukistan in Canada, and $50 in all other countries. And join me next week. Let me know how you like this show, okay?